Professor Yuval Dor is also a cell man, T-cells and beta cells, trying to save us from a massive global disease problem, diabetes. He's at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem.
Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease where T-cells of the body attack insulin-producing beta cells in the pancreas and destroy them, making the patient dependent on insulin injection. This is not a genetic disease. You're not born with it. It develops during postnatal life. The reason is not known. One popular theory is the hygiene theory, stating that we are raising our kids in a sterile environment, leading to the explosion of autoimmune diseases, type 1 diabetes, asthma, allergy. It's the sterile environment.
They need dirt.
Eat dirt. This is the slogan, yes. So this is type 1 diabetes. The end result is that beta cells are destroyed and you don't have a source of insulin. Type 2 diabetes has a much stronger genetic background. Your genes, the genes you inherit from your parents, influence your likelihood to become the type 2 diabetic much more than in the case of type 1 diabetes. This has to do with Western lifestyle, lack of exercise, Western diet, causing obesity and causing the tissues in the body to be non-responsive or resistant to the action of insulin. However, more recently, we realized that also in the case of type 2, there is a very strong contribution of beta cell failure to the disease. So people that have a perfectly normal beta cell will deal very well with Western lifestyle. Their beta cells will so-called compensate, they'll secrete more insulin, there'll be more beta cells, and everything will be just fine. Those that have a genetic deficiency in their beta cells will develop type 2 diabetes. So in summary, in both types of diabetes, a major cause is insufficient number of beta cells, and this is what we study.
So if you want to solve the problem, you need to get more beta cells from somewhere. Is it possible to get more beta cells?
This is exactly the view. A cure will be achieved when we are able to increase the number of beta cells in the body of the patient, beta cells that sense the level of glucose and secrete more insulin. There's one way of doing that today clinically, the so-called Edmonton protocol developed at the University of Alberta by James Shapiro. It's a method for islet transplantation. So essentially beta cells, or the clusters of beta cells organized in the islets of Langerhans, are harvested from brain dead donors and are transplanted into diabetes patients.
And does that work?
That works perfectly well. The patient becomes insulin independent. However, there are two main problems. First, it holds only for a certain amount of time. Between a year and 5 years later, patients lose the graft. Second, there are only very few eligible donors, making the procedure not clinically relevant. So there has been so far like 1,500 transplantations worldwide. There are millions in need. So we know it can't be done, but cadaveric donors will not be the answer. This led to a major shift in the field of diabetes research, where many in the research community look for alternative sources of beta cells. So many people focus on embryonic stem cells, with all the controversy, human embryonic stem cells as a potential source for making infinite numbers of beta cells, so far unsuccessfully. Others were looking for adult stem cells, ethically acceptable, but we think these cells do not exist, actually. Adult stem cells that can be directed to differentiate into beta cells.
You don't think they exist?
I do not. Another approach which we focused on is trying to induce beta cell regeneration. So finding drugs that will boost the emergence of new beta cells in the patient, within the pancreas of the patient, will increase the number of beta cells, and this should lead to a cure of diabetes. Why do we think that there are no adult pancreatic stem cells? So while I was a postdoctoral fellow at Harvard University with Doug Melton several years ago, we set out to ask exactly this question. What is the source of new beta cells that are formed during adult life in the pancreas? And we designed experiments that were meant to distinguish between two possibilities. One possibility is that beta cells come from any type of stem cell, in the bone marrow, in the spleen, within the pancreas, a non-beta cell that can become beta cell upon receiving a signal. And the alternative was that there are no stem cells, and beta cells can divide, simple duplication, to make more beta cells. So we designed experiments using transgenic mice that were engineered to distinguish between these two possibilities, although it's a very simple system I can explain. And the shocking result was that all beta cells during adult life seem to derive from pre-existing beta cells that duplicate. No evidence for influx into the system of stem cells that become beta cells. Besides solving a major question in developmental biology or tissue dynamics in the pancreas, this had some interesting political implications because this was the Bush era and he was strongly objecting to embryonic stem cell research. And one major claim was, why do you need to work with these ethically questionable embryonic stem cells? Go find the adult stem cells of the pancreas, take these, no ethical problem there, induce them to become beta cells, end of problem. The problem is that probably these stem cells do not exist. So you can either go to beta cells to force them to divide, but if, for instance, you're a type 1 diabetic patient and you don't have any more beta cells left, then your only solution is human embryonic stem cells, in principle. So the Bush excuse does not hold anymore. So this is why we made it to the New York Times at the time.
I see, I remember it well. Now, if the poor person hasn't got any beta cells, how can you help them?
Several ways. First of all, we now know that even in long-time type 1 diabetics, there are always some beta cells that remain. There's still controversy in the field whether these are beta cells that escaped destruction for many years, which is a fascinating question by itself, why it happened, or an even more interesting option is that the beta cells of type 1 diabetes patients continuously attempt to regenerate. But each time a new beta cell is born, it's decapitated by the immune system. But then it's an ongoing process, which gives rise to optimism, because if new beta cells are formed, in principle, all you need to do is to stop immune destruction in a non-toxic way, and there might be a possibility for spontaneous recovery. This is one alternative. Another is to transplant those patients with beta cells derived from somewhere else. For instance, cadaveric beta cells.
Brain dead people
that we can extract beta cells from them if we solve the problem of shortage of donors. Or alternatively, once we learn how to generate beta cells from embryonic stem cells, you could in principle get an unlimited source, but we're not there yet. We don't know how to do that. But this is the way forward. Thinking 15 years ahead.
Professor Yuval Dor at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Next week we shall hear from James Woodford on the Great Barrier Reef, David Blair on gravity waves, and I shall go to Mars, a trip long overdue. Catalyst offers you what you've always wanted, robotic heart surgery, on ABC One on Thursday at 8 o'clock, and SBS presents Stephen Hawking on Tuesdays. The Science Show is produced by David Fisher and Charlie McCune. I'm Robin Williams. Lord Gaga.